You're listening to Just Women on Brooklyn's Radio. You can join in by emailing any comments or questions you may have to justwomen@brooklynsradio.co.uk or check us out on Facebook. Search for Just Women at Brooklyn's Radio. Just Women is just what you need.
And hello and welcome to Just Women, the weekly talk show on Brooklyn's Radio. It's Just Women for the next hour, talking to interesting, intriguing and inspiring women of all ages about subjects related to kids, work and life. But of course today we're doing one of our summer specials, so we have one special guest who we'll introduce in just a minute. I'm Celia Jones and my co-presenter today is Alison Florence. Hi Alison.
Hello Celia, nice to be here.
Well, to start the programme today and for the whole programme today, I'd like to introduce our guest, Mary Barry, who is a community investment manager for British Airways. Good morning, Mary.
Good afternoon to
good
all
afternoon.
Of you. Sorry.
Call me out. Now, we're going to, as I say, talk about all about your work in just a few minutes, but under our kids section, I'd like to talk about the sort of the early years, if you like. You were from Hackney originally, is that right?
Well, I went to school in Hackney, yes, in East London, and had a very, very happy time. It was a wonderful time of my life, my school life. Mm-hmm. I really enjoyed it.
Yes. It's funny, isn't it? Some people have good memories and some not so good. But I sort of feel yours must have been good because you actually went on to teacher training, didn't you? And then taught as a teacher.
That's right. And I taught for 10 years. And prior to actually going to university, I spent a year working with children with special educational needs. So that really, really sort of inspired me. But I had some pretty inspirational teachers at school. So I think I always felt that that was the vocation that I wanted to sort of follow, really. So, yeah.
And what sort of age kids did you end up teaching? You taught history, so I presume
I taught history. Yes, I taught at secondary level in Kent and then in southwest London. So right through from sort of 11 to post-16, teaching A-level students history as well. So absolutely loved it.
Mm-hmm. And you didn't find discipline a problem, because I sort of feel sorry for teachers these days trying to keep order. But
I think it's it's always a challenge, but I taught in a mixed school, which was very, very different from teaching in an all-girls school, and working with young women is slightly different, and they can pose their own challenges and very hormonal and emotional and yes. But actually great fun, really, really great fun. And I met some truly fantastic young women who've gone on to do absolutely superb things. So I feel very proud to have been part of my life, really.
Mm-hmm. So what made you decide to actually leave the teaching role? Because then you went on, didn't you, to Warwick University Centre for Education and Industry.
Yeah, I had an opportunity whilst I was teaching to go on a secondment, just for my own professional development, really. And I was given the sort of opportunity to really sort of see how education and business come together, obviously for the benefit of young people. And that always sort of concerned me, because I was also involved in delivering careers education programs, and sort of felt that it was really important that we bring adults into the school community so that young people get first-hand knowledge and understanding of what's out there and the great variety and opportunities that there are for young people. So I then had a chance to, on that secondment, to really sort of have some understanding of the business world, and had a number of different placements. And then I got headhunted for a position at the Centre for Education and Industry, and had 9 happy years at Warwick University working really on developing education programmes that brought business and education together.
So that must have been a really useful asset for you to take to the role that you're actually doing now. What do you feel you actually took from that role which made you so qualified to do what you're doing at the moment?
Well, I think, I was really fortunate again, because British Airways actually approached Warwick to develop education materials for young people to, the aviation industry is so fantastically exciting. It's such a rich learning resource. And, for me, I had a wonderful insight into developing those materials. We brought teachers together. We placed them within British Airways across different departments in the company. And I love the challenge of actually seeing how we could actually link the experiences that teachers were having into learning, developing learning materials for young people to, again, give them some serious insights into, you know, the world of work. I mean, most young people think it's about pilots and cabin crew, but actually behind the scenes, and, you know, whether it's dealing with social media, or you've got, you know, wonderful engineers who are doing fantastic things with amazing aeroplanes, it's, you know, that really, really opened up a fabulous insight for me. But also I think what I straddled was an understanding of the education system and really understanding what teachers needed. You know, it's all about providing teachers who are really, really busy and very, you know, have really sort of stressful time making everything they do creative and engaging for young people. And I think, you know, what I felt I could actually do was open up those doors for the teachers to sort of really get inside the skin of a fantastic organisation and look to see how, you know, we could really develop something very interesting for young people in terms of a learning opportunity.
Now, you actually started that some years ago, didn't you? Do you find that the skills that people need to be educated in now have changed a lot since those days? Because we all hear that children spend more time, you know, looking online and texting and things, and communication skills may be almost like a thing of the past. Have you noticed that in the children you train?
I think it's interesting, actually, because obviously the one thing that young people, and it's really interesting for us at British Airways, because we are employing a vast number of young apprentices across the British Airways community, which has brought a fabulous richness into the business, and young graduates as well. And things like technology is absolutely second nature to them, and you know, they teach us, and it's great to sit back and you know, delegate that sort of social media based activity or whatever it may be. But I think for me it's all about young people having access to adults who are not teachers, and giving them that experience to present themselves in front of somebody that they aren't totally familiar with in a work environment. I do think historically young people do find it difficult sometimes to sort of understand what the world of work is about, and I think it is absolutely our responsibility in business and industry to go and support those young people, to give them the best chance that they can absolutely have in a really challenging economic environment. So you know, it's really important, I believe. So
I was going to say, because some of your programmes that you say start from the age of five, though, so presumably that's not so career-oriented. What do you do with a sort of five-year-old group?
So at British Airways, we have a community learning centre, which is open to schools across the Heathrow community. And within the centre, we've actually got our own mock-up cabin and a whole range of sort of other facilities in there. But one of the programmes, for example, that we run is a customer service programme. Now, we run that for primary and secondary students. But for the primary children, that's very much about then we give them uniforms, they put on the uniforms, they make the announcements, they do the service. And when they do the service, it's, you know, we're teaching them the skills of how do they engage with each other, how do they interact, how do they talk to each other with respect and value other people's opinions. So it's very much at an early age, it's about behaviour and how we engage with each other. Obviously, as we move through the sort of spectrum into secondary and post-16, we're actually showcasing to them, you know, the high-level skills that people need to have when they're delivering really excellent customer service, and ensuring that, you know, that they've got those skills and capabilities, really.
I mean, do you find some of the children that you have not, in fact, flown? I mean, there must be cases where it's an alien world to them. They're not really sort of understanding quite.
It's interesting because we all make an assumption simply because the children live across the Heathrow community that, you know, they'll have flown, they've gone on holiday. And in fact, that isn't absolutely, as you say, the case. In fact, I remember very, very clearly, we have cultural weeks as well. We have have Global Education Weeks, and so the whole centre is designed in the particular country that we might be flying to. So we were flying to Ghana, and we were taking the children on the trip. So we have some of our pilots who come in, and they talk to the children about the flight path, so they're learning about geography, etc. Then we serve some food that you would consume in country, and we take them on this experience, and then they think they're taking off, and then we land them, and then they think they've arrived in Accra. And sadly, one little boy absolutely thought he was in Ghana, and when we'd finished he was in floods of tears because he really thought he was going on holiday, and he'd never been on an aeroplane before, and he went to a very local school to Heathrow. Yeah. So you're absolutely right.
And I thought maybe he was worried about getting back.
No, he really wanted to stay there.
But my mummy.
Yeah. But I mean, that's the other fantastic side of it, that we can transport the children, help them to use their imagination as well, and they meet some fantastic positive role models. We have a fantastic pilot and cabin crew community who come and volunteer for us, and they work with the children and take them on these imaginary flights, but also talk about their careers. Mm. So they're getting a very, very rich live experience.
Because there's also the one of your other programs is the Railway Children. Do you want to just tell us briefly about that while we're in the kids section?
We have 40 community and conservation partnerships, and one of those charity partners is called the Railway Children, and basically, they're based in the UK. It's a UK registered charity. But what they do is they work with young, disenfranchised children and young people in communities across the world, in Kenya and in India. And they use the principles of the railway carriages that are maybe potentially abandoned. And they sort of transform those into a small education centre, their health testing centre. Somewhere for the children to go and get food, and then they work with those children to try and repatriate them back into their communities or to their families or guardians. It's an absolutely amazing charity, and we've worked with them for a long time, and they do some great work in the UK as well, actually, for vulnerable young people who are maybe on the streets or homeless through no fault of their own.
Mm-hmm. Amazing thought, just to use an old railway carriage. Yeah. I mean, it's so obvious when you think about it, but yes.
Yeah, it's really, really sort of clever concept, actually.
So is it British Airways people that actually go and help these charities then, or do you actually employ people to actually go and do the charity work?
Well, it's a combination of things, really. We work with the 40 registered UK charities, and then what we provide for those charities, we give the charities flight bursaries to enable them to get to the communities overseas that they're working with. But what we build into the partnerships with the charities are opportunities for volunteering. So we're trying to embed quite a lot of volunteering in and around our own communities at Heathrow and further afield. But then a lot of our colleagues actually volunteer overseas, and they do some phenomenal work, both in their own time and in company time. Mm. So we're really trying to sort of use we're very, very lucky to be able to travel so much. So it's very much about putting something back into the communities that we serve in the UK and overseas. So a lot of our colleagues, especially cabin crew, volunteer when they're overseas and down route. So, sometimes people imagine that they're just staying in a hotel and, not doing anything else. But lots of them actually go out and actually give of their time, which is fantastic.
Because I have heard cabin crew say they get a bit bored if they just hang around. So it sounds nice to sit in a hotel for a few days, but often you want to go and do something. And it must be an amazing experience to know that you've made a difference to someone's life by doing that.
Absolutely, and they've brought to us some wonderful charities as well. So, we've been very, very lucky to. We've got some amazing cabin crew who've, as you rightly say, have been out on a trip and then have come back and been deeply, deeply moved by some of the terrible poverty that they've seen. They've set up their own charities. They've registered those charities in the UK, and they've fundraised and raised absolutely hundreds of thousands of pounds for different organisations.
Because often you tend to think that people who you meet on planes and things tend to be sort of the higher range of income people, don't they, who are going on holidays and nice flights. So to go and see people